Blog Talk Radio.
You're listening to Be Radiant Radio. You are made of light and you are made to shine. Positive, uplifting, and helpful. Welcome to the show where you'll get informational and inspirational ideas on how to unleash your potential, get what you want in life, and shine like you're meant to.
Hello and welcome. I'm your host, Angela Loeb. Thanks for joining me for Your Life at the 30,000 Foot View. That's the name for today's show. In my last program, Design Your Own Life Plan, my goal was to stir you into thinking of what you want your life to look like. I gave tips on how to develop your goals, namely to write your plan down and break everything into bite-sized, realistic pieces. And I talked about the life planning compass as a tool to help you come up with goals in key areas for your whole life. Now, today, I've got some more ideas for you and some more planning ideas, and I also want to give you some tips on how to make room in your life to do this. I'm sure you know what I mean by the term the 30,000-foot view, right? I mean, but just in case, let me clarify. It's about seeing the big picture of your life rather than being only in the nitty-gritty details of what happened yesterday, what's going on today, what's going to happen tomorrow. This is about getting you out of the forest. You know, moving from this forest view where you can't see the forest for the trees, where you're living, and you pull up above the forest and you get a bird's eye view. You look down and you see the big picture of your life. You see things as they could be. And at the same time, because you're up there looking at this big picture, what I want you to do is to encourage you to think big too. So, you know, to step in your potential, you really need to step back. You need to be able to know what is your potential. And when you're in the thick of things and you're in the thicket, as it were, of the forest, it is really difficult to step back and look at your potential, give that spaciousness to your point of view and your thinking. Now, to do what other big thinkers do, like Bill Gates and Sarah Blakely, to name a couple, I'm going to talk about them today, you've got to really do a few key things. And this is really important to make your goals happen. And I assure you, you can do what they do. It's not rocket science, I promise. Big thinkers take the time to look at their lives at that strategic high level. Even those from the most humble beginnings can really rise above whatever their circumstances are. They, you know, history, it proves this over and over and over again. I've noticed that. Now, people who push their boundaries, who dare to dream of a bigger life than they have now, like I said, Bill Gates, Sarah Blakely, to name a few, they have a tendency to do several things in common. And there's two things in particular I want to mention, which is that they all have a vision. They all have this kind of picture in their mind's eye of what they want. And the second thing they do is they take the time to think and plan that vision, to give it some detail, to give it some time and energy. And some of the coolest stories of success come from a third factor that I've noticed as well, and that is that successful people tend to believe in their visions so much so that they think possibility and they're open-minded about how it's going to happen. Rather than overly worrying and obsessing over the how, they seem to have this unshakable 100% faith in their vision. They're convinced it will come true, and they keep doggedly pushing forward when this doesn't work or that doesn't work. They don't let what might seem like a setback to you or me, they don't let that stop them. In fact, I've noticed that most successful big thinkers, they just chalk it up. Any setback they have, they just chalk it up to just one more thing they needed to go through to learn something to help their plans along. So it's like that dead end really wasn't a dead end. It taught them something. So this is what big thinkers do. And if you want what you want to come true, you need to form a vision of what it is. You need to believe in it without a doubt. You need to totally trust that even if you don't know how, know that it will come true. Trust that the how will take care of itself. So your job is to focus on the what it is that you want, and then open up to the possibilities of what will make it into a reality. I mentioned Sarah Blakely. Now, I'm not sure if you've heard of her. I came across her story myself just a few years ago, and I have been inspired ever since. She's got an amazing, cool background story here. In the late 90s, she was selling copy machines, And she said that she had this dream back then that someday she wanted to work for herself. She didn't want to be a salesperson selling copy machines all her life. She just had this idea that she wanted to be in business for herself. And at that point, she had very little money. She had no training. And she had no idea what she would do to be self-employed. She also said that at that time, she had boldly decided that she wanted to be on Oprah Winfrey's show. And she had no idea how that would happen or why that would happen. Just it was something on her wish list, and she believed it was possible. So what she went about, she was doing her work, doing her thing, going to a party one evening, and as she was dressing, she came up with this idea. And it led to her inventing this undergarment that was this sudden inspired idea she had. She developed it into a product and started her company, Spanx. By the way, she had no business degree, no knowledge of the hosiery industry, yet she persevered and she made some really bold moves into meeting buyers, and she got Spanx, her product, placed in major department stores. And guess what? Eventually, Oprah Winfrey found out about Spanx because a lot of it spread, the news about it spread word of mouth. And Oprah Winfrey found out about this product, used it, and declared it one of her favorite products of the year when she had tried it. And she said, Sarah Blakely tells a story that when Oprah Winfrey, the producers got a hold of her, they said they wanted to arrange an interview with her. And voila, Blakely's vision of being on the Oprah Winfrey show came true. Now, today, all those years later, Blakely is a billionaire, okay? She shows us that you can be successful from thinking possibility. And though she had not imagined initially how she would get there, she definitely visualized what she wanted. She had a vision of that. And when the timing was right, she took the action. Now, what she shows us is that you should think possibility, and you should take action, whatever action you can take right now where you are from what you're doing right now. Take a first step. Don't fret over the future that hasn't happened yet. Don't obsess over the fact that you're not where you want to be yet. Do whatever you can right where you are and right now. Trust that the how will work itself out, and pay attention. Listen to what you can do. Pay attention. Watch for what you can do. I just love that. I love Sarah Blakely's story. Anyway, now I also told you I would talk about Bill Gates. Now, this is kind of cool what Bill Gates does. I'm sure you've heard of Bill Gates, right? He's the founder of Microsoft. Anyway, did you know that Bill Gates takes periodic retreats? I don't mean the religious kind of retreats that you might go through your church to go take a retreat. Those are cool, too. But what I'm talking about is a personal planning retreat. He schedules a full week of seclusion twice a year for what he calls his Think Week. And he's done this in some shape or form since the 1980s. So, like all movers and shakers, he takes this uninterrupted time to step back from the immediate here and now to look at the big picture, and this has been really important to his success. Now, you might not be able to take a whole week of seclusion for yourself like Bill Gates does. You can't take maybe a whole Think Week. I mean, if you can, that's awesome. Go for it. But if you can't, like the most of us who have, you know, regular kind of lives to live here, you can certainly schedule some time to do this. It's really up to you to do that. No one else can take this time on your behalf. You've got to do it yourself. So I'm going to tell you what I've done, and it started a long time ago. When I was in the middle of my corporate career, this was back in the 90s, I was working for a fantastic manager. She was awesome, great mentor and manager, and she asked me to turn in annual goals every January, and she got me into this habit of taking and setting aside time annually to think about not just my professional goals, but my personal goals too. And it just so happens that my birthday falls during the last week of the year. So how ideal it turned out to be, very ideal to take my birthday as a personal vacation day. And what I would do is I would spend a big chunk of it reflecting on what I'd done the previous year, and I would contemplate what I really wanted to do during the next. And during this annual retreat, I would set goals, I would determine what books I wanted to read, what classes I wanted to take for both, like I said, personal and professional growth both. I looked at all areas of my life, not just the professional side. So now, one of the things, for instance, that I did one year, I remember this distinctly, is I wanted to spruce up my home's master bathroom. and I needed new flooring and I needed new wall paint, and it went on my plan. So I worked on that. I put the dates and ended up doing that year. You know, every year I still do my birthday retreat. I also do a mini half-day planning retreat quarterly. And so four times a year I'm doing just a little half-day. And, in fact, I recall one very powerful mini retreat that I did in March 2008 that really, this one really catapulted me forward. It stands out in my memory because it was a big deal. It set a whole lot of great things in motion in my life. During that mini retreat, I was sitting in a coffee shop. I was looking at my life and career from the 30,000-foot view. And you see, a couple of years prior to this, I had already started blogging, and I had already started doing freelance resume writing on the side. So I had already taken some baby steps toward my dream of becoming a writer and even being paid for my writing, not just doing it for free, but also getting paid for it. And in now it's December 2007, so fast forward, and we're into 2007, I'm doing my personal annual retreat, and I decide that I want to get a book out there. It's time. I'd been working on one about job search. I'd been working on it off and on for about 4 years. And during this quarterly check-in retreat in March of 2008, so a few months later, I faced the fact that, I still hadn't taken any serious steps toward completing this goal. So that's when I got committed to it. Right then and there, I set the intention that I would complete and publish the book that year. And in fact, I pledged to have it out 6 months later, by September of that same year. So I wrote down all of the action steps that I needed to take, along with any resources I needed for each step to make this goal a reality. And I realized it was realistic, and I was excited. But to stay disciplined, I put the action steps on my calendar, and I picked realistic completion dates for each. So I put a plan into actual motion. So just thinking about it, this wasn't just like a think time. I was actually putting actions on my calendar. Now, at the end of the day, or the end of this period, I was off the mark by a few weeks, but I did it. I published my first book in October of 2008. Now, of course, since then I've done a lot more writing, and much of it for payment. I've tried to do some ghost writing for a couple of other people's blogs. I found that wasn't my thing. But I still tried it, and I'm proud of that. I continue to write resumes, which is something I excel in. I have written two more books and lots of class materials. I've also produced a lot of articles and scripts for podcasts and virtual classes. So, yay, I'm a writer. I'm doing my dream. And without taking time to get to that 30,000-foot view, without scheduling the annual retreats and the quarterly check-ins, I just would never have done it. So what do you want for your life? It's really up to you to make it happen. Like I said, no one else is going to do it for you. Okay, so this is a great time to take a short break. When we come back, I want to give you some tips for setting up a successful personal planning retreat for yourself. I have a lot to cover, so we won't take very long, but I do want you to enjoy the music, and I'll talk again with you in just a few minutes. Thank you. welcome back to your Life at the 30,000-foot View on Be Radiant Radio. Thanks to Jeff Harvey and Chris Martin of Purple Planet for that tune. It's called Black Coffee. That's such a mellow tune for such a caffeinated title, Black Coffee. But it's nice, really nice. Okay, so I have some tips for you. I have a lot to cover, so I'm going to get into it for you. I want you to be able to have successful personal planning retreats, and that's what the main thrust of this program is about today. I want to really get into this with you and teach you what I've learned about it myself after doing this for more than 15 years. First, though, I want to give you another planning idea, something that I did talk about in the last program. I did Design Your Own Life Plan, something I discussed, something called the Life Planning Compass, and it's a great tool to use in your planning retreats. You can use it. There's four different areas that you cover, and you can sit down and really look at all these four different areas of your life and figure out how you want to make goals in them. But if you want something super simple, I would suggest that you use what is known as the 100th birthday exercise as a way to come up with a great idea for what you want your life to look like. It's a great way to go to the 30,000-foot view very quickly, and it's a lot less morbid than what a lot of experts suggest. You know what I mean, right? When they say to write your obituary, how morbid is that? I mean, my daughter once had to do that for her English class in eighth grade. I don't know about you, but yuck. I mean, I'm not exactly afraid of death. I actually think death is simply a transition to something cooler than this place, but really, I don't relish the idea of taking my life to the 30,000-foot view and look at it as though I'm up there playing a harp or something, at least not yet, anyway. So back to my point. The exercise, the 100th birthday exercise, is meant to help you imagine looking at your life in hindsight. What will you have wanted to accomplish? So you use this exercise to help you do it, and it's in a fun way. It's easy how it works. Just imagine it's your 100th birthday today. Congratulations. Happy birthday. Your loved ones have gathered around to celebrate your wonderful life. There's a cake, colorful balloons, and even silly party hats if you'd like. Have some fun describing your major accomplishments and this legacy of your life. Go ahead and write everything down. Embellish and express your story in vivid details. This has been your life, and you've lived it on purpose. 100 years, baby. So here are some questions that you might use to spur yourself on. What have you done professionally? What have you done personally? Where have you traveled? Where have you lived? And what has your lifestyle been like? What kind of mark have you made? So those are some things to think about, what you might cover when you're thinking about what you've accomplished by the time you're 100. The main point I want to make about all this is that you have to get, if you want to get something out of your life and you want it to have a big life, you've got to set goals for this life in the first place. In his book, this is an interesting study that I read about. In this book, What They Don't Teach You at Harvard Business School, this author talks about some interesting statistics about setting and achieving goals. In 1979, this poll was conducted of new graduates from Harvard's MBA program, and they found that, this is really cool, listen, 84% of those new graduates from Harvard's MBA program, none of 84% of them had no specific goals at all. This boggles my mind that people can go through an MBA program and not have specific goals, but there you go. The vast majority of them did not have goals. 13% had goals, but they were not committed to paper. 3% had clear written goals and plans to accomplish them. Now, what's interesting about this 1979 study, this poll that they did, is what they found out a decade later. So they went back to these people 10 years later, and the researchers tracked them down, these graduates from the MBA program at Harvard, and these were the amazing results they figured out. The 13% of the class who had goals, but hadn't written them down, were earning, on average, twice as much as the 84% who had no goals at all. But what was even more staggering is that the 3% who had clear written goals were earning, on average, 10 times as much as the other 97% put together. Wow, right? Okay, so if you don't believe in writing your goals down, you're just thinking, oh, yeah, it's in my head. Think about this, right? Think about this study. So the bottom line, if you want to get what you want, you need to make a plan, and you need to make a written plan. And making a plan helps you to make the commitment that's necessary to actually make the changes you want to see in your life. Taking the time to do this, again, it's solely up to you. No one else can do it for you. Okay, so now I want to give you some tips for a successful personal planning retreat, because by now you're sold, right? You really want to do this personal planning retreat, and you should, of course, by all means do it your way, but I have four major suggestions based on my own experience that I think can help you, but also let me mention that you don't have to make this a fancy retreat. That is, of course, unless you want it to be. A comfortable chair in a special coffee shop near a window with a nice view might be all you need. It usually is enough for me. But if you like the idea of pampering yourself by taking a weekend away to go to some beautiful place or some relaxing place to unwind, do some introspection, get a massage, whatever it is, then by all means, go for it. But be sure you're spending some time during your planning. Okay, so all right, here's my four tips for a successful personal planning retreat. Number one, create, if this is obvious, right? Create uninterrupted space and time for yourself. Put the date on your calendar and protect it like you would a vacation day. No kids, no managers, no employees, no significant others demanding your time, no electronic communication devices either. Turn off the phone, leave your phone in your bag, wherever you have to. This is, of course, unless you're using something strictly for typing your plan. If you want to put it on a laptop or notebook, that's fine. But otherwise, you're not supposed to be distracted by your outside life. This must truly be your time. So that's my number one tip. Number two, it's up to you how often you want to have your personal planning retreats. But like I said before, you can make this an annual event. Maybe you can pick your birthday. Maybe you can pick just some special day that has meaning to you. You know, some people just love that day, that week, last week of the year between the holidays, and that can be a good time. So pick a day annually that works for you, and if you can make it a regular type of standing day, that's even better. Now, you might find it useful to schedule your retreats more frequently. Like I said, I like to do them quarterly. Some people like to do them biannually, but these are just check-in retreats to make sure that you're keeping to your plan, what has to change, what needs to be tweaked. Okay? Tip number three, ideally give yourself a half day to a whole day away from the normal distractions. This is a time when you will have to do a lot of inner reflection. So it's really wise, I think, to go to a different place from your home or from your workplace where you can enjoy the solitude, if at all possible. Get out of the house, away from the office, turn off the phone, give yourself permission to think without distractions. So a half day to a whole day away. Tip number four, during your personal planning retreat, it's a good idea to start off by asking yourself questions to check in and see where you are mentally. When you ask yourself a question, I think you should answer the question to yourself in this affirmative statement. It's a powerful goal-achieving technique. You can take a journaling approach if you'd like, or you can simply use a list of questions like the general ones that I can tell. I can give you a few ideas. But, of course, you can use your life planning compass. You can use the 100th day birthday, whatever, okay? So some ideas around questions, what is my intention? Or you can be more specific, what is one big project to complete or problem to solve? Let's see, you can ask yourself, what do I need to reach success? You can even break it down further, and you can ask yourself, what knowledge or skills do you need to do this? What external support system do you need to do it? Do you have any physical needs or resources that you need to get? Is there anybody that you need to go talk to about it that has knowledge of this, that can be a useful source of information? So that's what you need. Just come up with some ideas, attack it, put an action plan together. All right, so those are my four tips. Now, I also have a bonus tip for you, and that's to be sure to set timelines on your ideas and your goals from your retreat. So while you're in your retreat, get the calendar out and put them on your timeline. That's before you end your retreat. And that's because it's one thing to state what you want to do and have a list, but in order to get there, you have to put some timelines on these items. Otherwise, it's just all academic, okay? You've got to actually put it on the calendar. I can't stress how important this is. I've made that mistake. Like I said, 2007, yeah, I want to write a book. It wasn't until March 2008 that I actually got serious about it by putting it on my calendar, and then it happened. So it's one thing to have a general intention. I mean, as a matter of fact, that book, 4 years I thought about writing it and worked on it off and on until I got serious about it and put a timeline. All right, so those are my big tips for you on getting a planning retreat for yourself. There are a lot of other things you can do. One of the things that I'm not going to go into detail with you right now, but I can tell you right now that it's sometimes good to have an accountability partner, someone that you can check in with about these goals on a periodic basis. Maybe quarterly would be good if you had an accountability partner. And I have some good resources around that I can provide. So let's face it, getting what you want requires a will to do it, right? And it requires a plan. And this is big stuff. This is about what you want in life, and it's up to you to do it. So I want you to go for it. Dare to think big. For inspiration, you might want to read David Schwartz's book, The Magic of Thinking Big, by the way. It was published in 1959, and it's still highly influential to successful people today. One of my favorite stories about the magic of thinking big, and actually how I heard about it in the first place, was through Emeril Lagasse. He's a chef, and he said he read it, and he was at the time this world-renowned chef over at Commander's Palace in New Orleans, and that was a big deal to be the executive chef in Commander's Palace in New Orleans. But he wanted to think big. He thought there might be more to my career than this, you know, ultimate pinnacle, or what most people think is a pinnacle. And sure enough, he broke open the barriers. He set his sights even bigger, and he became huge as a celebrity TV chef through the Food Network, and he authored, I think, 18, 20 best-selling cookbooks. He owns more than a dozen restaurants in 5 or more U.S. cities. I mean, he's out there. He's big. Now, Dr. Schwartz said in his book, I love this quote, "Success is determined not so much by the size of one's brain as it is by the size of one's thinking." So, the magic of thinking big, there you go. So, do you feel inspired? Do you feel inspired to think big and take time out of your day-to-day and spend some time looking at the whole picture from the 30,000-foot view? I sure hope so. Well, that's what I have for you today. Thanks for tuning in. I hope you'll enjoy me next time when I do a show on September 20th. I'll be talking about career choices. And the program's called Love What You're Doing. I'm basing that on a quote that I've always loved. It's from Will Rogers. He said, "If you want to be successful, it's just this simple. Know what you're doing, love what you're doing, and believe in what you're doing." I just love that. So before I go, I also want to thank Doom Dance and Purple Planet for our music today. Please use the link on check out the website for these musicians, and you'll see that on the webpage. And I'll also have some links to some other articles and videos that might be useful for you on today's topic. If you're interested in my books and programs, if you want to connect with me through Facebook and Twitter, please check me out. I'm best reached at angelaloeb.com. That's angelaloeb.com. In the meantime, you can find me here doing live broadcasts of V-Radiant Radio every first and third Sunday. I hope you'll join me next time on September 20th. In the meantime, be well and shine on.